It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Friday, July 3rd. I'm Patricia Naft. A teen who was texting and driving on Highway 348 outside of Olathe crashed into a tree on Wednesday afternoon. Trooper Corey Williams is with the Colorado State Patrol. He says the 17-year-old was driving a red pickup truck at the time of the accident.
He was texting and driving, did not have a seatbelt on, and missed a right-hand curve going straight and off the left side of the road over a phone box, through two fences, and then collided with a tree.
Williams says the teen was transported to Montrose Memorial Hospital for treatment.
He does have some broken bones and a few facial injuries.
Williams says the teen will face some charges, but police are waiting for his release from the hospital first. Emergency responders rescued a teen and four others from the Colorado River in Grand Junction on Wednesday. At first, rescue officials responded to a call of a young woman trapped in the water against the abutment of the 5th Street Bridge. Captain Matt Carson with the Grand Junction Police Department says she was tubing with two others when she fell into the river. Her companions floated to an island where they waited for rescue officials. Carson says when the responder was pulling the teen from the river, three other people got into the water to help her. They were ordered out of the river, but two of them ended up needing rescued as well.
One of them was rescued by a throw bag, which is a rope that floats, and we put it in a bag, and it's weighted, so we can throw the rope out there. They grab onto it, we pull them into shore. Unfortunately, the second one couldn't grab the rope, and one of our swimmers had to go in the water and physically rescue her out of the river.
Carson says when the others got into the water, it complicated the first rescue.
Also put our guys in a lot more danger because now we have people floating on the river and we weren't prepared for that.
Carson says none of the people rescued were wearing life jackets. He says if you underestimate the power of the river, it can lead to dangerous situations like this one, but fortunately, no one was injured. A deer attack at a national park outside of Montrose landed a tourist in the hospital earlier this week. Officials with the Black Canyon of the Gunnison National Park says the Arizona woman was walking her dog at a campground at the south rim where a doe attacked her. Police officials say the deer was apparently protecting her fawn when it struck the woman repeatedly with its hooves, resulting in serious injury. The victim was transported to Montrose Memorial Hospital for treatment. Renzo Del Piccolo is the Montrose Area Wildlife Manager for Colorado Parks and Wildlife.
We were able to go up there, were able to find the deer that had attacked her, and we were able to put it down.
Del Piccolo says this is the first time he's heard of a deer attacking a person. However, he says it's not unusual for an animal to get protective of its young. He says people should keep their pets leashed and not approach deer and other wildlife. Many new laws go into effect this week. July 1st marked the beginning of the state's fiscal year, meaning the state budget and other programs tied to it become law. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
House Bill 1323 is one of those proposals. It reduces the number of standardized tests school children take. It streamlines literacy tests in the early grades, allows for paper and pencil options on standardized tests, and cuts back on high school testing. Republican Senator Chris Hulbert of Parker was intimately involved in the negotiations, but he says it didn't go as far as he would have liked.
I am confident that members of both chambers will continue to find ways to reduce the frequency of assessment, to reduce the time required each year for assessment.
It took a bipartisan group of lawmakers until the final days of this year's session to reach an agreement. The governor, education reform groups, and the business community were all reluctant to reduce too much testing. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
Montrose is trying to grow their aviation industry. KVNF's Jake Ryan has more.
The Montrose Regional Airport is now an aviation development zone. It's a special designation that is meant to spur job creation in the area. It provides businesses who create new jobs to get additional tax credit per employee. It can be pretty substantial. This is Sandy Head, the executive director for Montrose Economic Development, a nonprofit based in the city.
What it does is, you know, mostly what the state of Colorado has to offer businesses are tax credits. That's the biggest tool in our toolbox, if you will. And Montrose is in a enterprise zone. We're an enhanced rural enterprise zone, so new jobs created get certain state tax credits. And what this does is it allows another layer in the event someone creates brand new jobs out at the airport from this point going forward. It's another $1,200 for each new full-time employee.
That bonus $1,200 is on top of an already $2,000 tax credit per employee. She says that aviation is a big focus of Colorado.
They're working on increasing jobs in the key industries across the state. And aviation and aerospace is identified as the number one industry in the state of Colorado. Montrose Regional Airport has a $325 million economic impact to our region annually. It is truly the largest economic driver we have in Montrose and then throughout the region. So doing anything to help grow the jobs at the airport is a positive thing.
Head says that aviation jobs pay above average and that new businesses will encourage more businesses to follow suit. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
The White River National Forest is encouraging backcountry campers to use bear-proof canisters to store their food. It's an education effort this year, but will become law next summer. Aspen Public Radio's Marcy Krivenin reports.
The Ute Mountaineer in Aspen is one of a handful of stores in the valley renting and selling bear-proof canisters. The hard plastic round containers have names like Bear Keg and Bear Vault. Nathan Martinez is store manager.
They're basically locked on the top. You gotta carry a nickel or a key or something to be able to close it off. But once you lock it, you can twist those little screws down and it'll hold it shut.
The canisters weigh between 2 and 4 pounds and will be required luggage for backpackers heading into the Maroon Bells Snowmass Wilderness in the White River National Forest.
It's going to be a long transition for people to, you know, start fully complying with that because it's a big change.
Andrew Larson is a wilderness ranger for the White River. This summer, Forest Service staff will be out educating campers. Next summer, canisters will be required by law, not for day hikers, but for those overnighting in the popular wilderness area.
Our reason for requiring bear canisters is that we have just had a total failure of people cannot hang their food properly. And the bears are getting into those bear hangs. And so now we've got these habituated bears that are becoming a problem every year.
Yosemite National Park has required backcountry wilderness campers to use bear canisters for more than a decade. Spokesman Scott Gedeman says there was resistance at first.
People have remarked that they're heavy and they're bulky and they take up a lot of room. But, you know, it's not an issue anymore because people that, you know, backpack around here just know that when you're going to go in the backcountry, you just automatically say, oh, I got to bring my canister.
At Aspen's Ute Mountaineer, the canisters cost between $70 and $80 and are rented for $8 a day. Manager Nathan Martinez says already today he's rented 2. He thinks they work.
I haven't heard of anyone losing them yet, but they are effective. They're certainly, you know, they keep bears out of them. They kind of know what they are. You know, black bears are really, really intelligent.
Though the new canister rule won't officially be in effect until next summer, Forest Service officials say if bear problems arise this year, an emergency order could put them in place sooner. Marcy Krivenin, Aspen Public Radio News.
Stay tuned for Western Slope Skies coming up next, followed by Alan and the Feel Good Friday Morning Music Mix. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.